Jesus left and went into the region near the city of Tyre, where he stayed in someone's home. He didn't want people to know he was there, but they found out anyway. A woman whose daughter had an evil spirit in her heard where Jesus was, and right away she came and knelt down at his feet. The woman was a Greek, and had been born in the part of Syria known as Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to force the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said, "The children must first be fed. It isn't right to take away their food and feed it to the dogs." The woman replied, "Lord, even dogs eat the crumbs that children drop from the table." Jesus answered, "That's true. You may go now. The demon has left your daughter." When the woman got back home, she found her child lying on the bed. The demon had gone.
Jesus left the region around Tyre and went by a way of Sidon toward Lake Galilee. He went through the land near the 10 cities, known as the Decapolis. Some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. They begged Jesus just to touch him. After Jesus had taken him aside from the crowd, he stuck his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and put on the man's tongue. Jesus looked up toward heaven, and with a groan he said, "Ephphatha," which means "open up." At once the man could hear, and he had no more trouble talking clearly. Jesus told the people not to say anything about what he had done, but the more he told them, the more they talked about it. They were completely amazed and said, "Everything he does is good. He even heals people who cannot hear or talk."
Amen. Thank you for that. Now, as I was thinking about this story and as I was planning, a memory came to my mind from many moons ago. When I was around the age of 12 or 11, I used to go to judo lessons, and I had a couple of friends who went along with me, and it was a lot of fun. But at some point, there was a guy I used to attend who was a little older than me. He was a little bit arrogant. He was a little bit rough. He was probably a bit better than all of us. And he was probably a very nice guy. But in my mind, he was just somebody to beware of, somebody that I didn't really like very much. I think he probably said something to me as well that was a bit, you know, was really mean. And so I really felt like this was the kind of guy I didn't like. And shortly after that, my whole family and I, we became Christians. I gave up the judo, started going to church. And lying down, there was a guy in church who looked just like that guy at judo, who I was introduced to. And because he had such similar features, I thought he was going to be exactly the same. I was very wary of him, I'm ashamed to say, for some months. But he turned out to be a very nice guy, very soft and very gentle, you know. And it reminded me, you know, as I was looking at this passage, this is how Jesus was able to deal with different people in different ways. And he didn't judge anyone by something else that had happened in his life. So the first one is a Gentile woman's request. He enters the house, possibly doesn't want to attract a lot of attention. He's in this area in Tyre and Sidon, so he doesn't want to, he may just want to have an intimate time in the house that he enters. But word quickly gets out, and at some point a very persistent woman comes to him. She falls down at his feet, and she pleads for him to cast this unclean spirit from her daughter. She is an intercessor, isn't she? She's making her daughter's needs her own. And Jesus doesn't outright say no, but he makes a statement. "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." That's quite a strange thing for our Western ears to hear. What does it mean? you know, the women would have understood what he meant. Because the Jews back then referred to the Gentiles as dogs. And another thing to remember is that dogs back then weren't the domestic heavenly pets that we have today. They were sort of outcasts. They were dirty animals. And so the Jews would have viewed these Gentiles as something like outcasts, something a little bit beneath them. And so this woman would have known what Jesus meant. And so when he talked about children, she would have known that he was meaning the Jews. Jesus was saying, and this story is repeated in Matthew 15:24, so Jesus was saying that the benefits of his ministry should be going really to the lost sheep of Israel, in other words, the Jews. But let's remember that Jesus didn't actually say no to her. Jesus didn't actually say dogs either. The literal translation is something more like little dogs. In other words, doggies. Okay. And it's interesting, in English we don't get it so much, but in Afrikaans, you can attach a little suffix to almost any noun, and it becomes diminutive, it becomes a little version, it becomes almost affectionate. So a word for table, my table, becomes, instead of metafel, becomes metafel key. It becomes my little table, you know. And that's the kind of effect, I think, that Jesus' words had. You know, the little duckies, almost affectionate. And the wonderful thing is that this woman doesn't actually become offended, even though he calls her something like a little doggy. She doesn't say, "Who are you calling a little doggy?" She remains humble, she remains respectful, she remains rational. And she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat the crumbs that the children drop." And as simply as that, her daughter is healed. Jesus doesn't pray, he doesn't shout, he doesn't cast out the demons. He just says, "For what you have said, go home. The demon has gone out of your daughter." That combination of faith and humility in that woman, that even the tiniest crumb from Jesus would heal her daughter, was all that Jesus required. And then in the second story, again, people come pleading to Jesus to put his hand on their friend. Again, people who stand in the place, they stand in the place of their friend. What did Jesus do this time? He took him aside from the multitude. There were lots of people crowding around. Put his fingers in his ears, and then he spat and touched his tongue, possibly with his fingers. So this is a very curious way of healing somebody. Why would Jesus use such an unusual way? If we think about it, Jesus used many different ways of healing. Sometimes he approached somebody to heal them. Other times people approached him. Sometimes it was in response to the faith of somebody else, and sometimes it was in response to that person's faith. But Jesus wasn't tied down to any one way of healing them.
Praise God.
And by this he showed that his power wasn't dependent on a method. It was dependent on the sovereign power of God.
Amen.
In every situation. And the second reason why Jesus may have used this method of healing is that people may have cared about this man. Obviously he had friends who brought him to Jesus. People may have been praying for him. But I doubt that anyone had ever stuck their fingers into his ears or spat and touched his tongue. Jesus used something that broke into this man's senses. He entered this man's mental world. That man couldn't hear anything. And so this is a way that Jesus very intimately connected with the man. And you know, that word for impediment, speech impediment, is used only in one other place in the Bible. And that's in Isaiah 35:5-6, which says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb, and that word is the word anything, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Mark's use of an extremely rare word to describe the man's speech defect is almost this, an allusion to that Isaiah 35 passage, which celebrates God as the one who comes in order to unstop our ears and to help us to praise Him and worship. And then in verse 37, finally, it says of the crowds, they were utterly astonished, saying, He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Taking these two examples, and Jesus is always our example for our lives, can we say that we do all things well concerning the people in our lives?
Preach it.
Are we people who add good things to the people around us?
Come on.
Or are we just neutral? I can think of people at my work that I can share a joke with. We can have a good laugh. At the end of the day, I don't really know them, and they don't really know me. I'm guilty of this. Perhaps it's useful if we sometimes ask ourselves some quite tough questions. Do I always treat people the same way, even if they're from a different social level or class than I am? Have I been intimidated from getting to know somebody because they seem above me at school or at work? Maybe they're a bit more cool than me, so I'm not going to try and help them or speak to them. Have I been put off from talking to somebody at work because they remind me of a previous boss who was really mean to me? Have I given up praying for somebody in my family because it always seems impossible to witness to them? Jesus treated everyone as individuals. Amen. He wanted to bless the high and the low in society. And through the Holy Spirit, He knew just the thing to do and say to them each time. He did all things well regarding the people around Him. And, Jesus, we are not that different from Jesus. But you know what the difference is? Jesus spent time with His Father, who prepared Him for the things that needed to be done. And Jesus was always sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Jesus was the perfect channel for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're sometimes imperfect, but it's not us that does it. We have just got to be channels. We've got to be willing channels of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the lives of others. We often think we're not good enough, and that's what stops us. But if you think that if you can imagine that you're a channel for the Holy Spirit, and even if it's an imperfect channel, the only thing we have to ask ourselves, are we stopped up? Are we blocked? Do we have a speech impediment? As children of God, we're all channels of God's blessings.
Amen.
So let's ask the Lord where we need to unlock or be set free in areas of our emotion and thinking.
Amen.
So that we can start to do all things well for the people around us. Amen.
Amen.